episode 356. I'm your host, Hector. Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that dives into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more. And this is yet another edition of the 2000 Movies version of the podcast. This is where I review a film that I've just recently watched, with the caveat being that the films have had to come out after the year 2000, hence 2000 Movies. But before I get to my movie review, let me thank everyone for tuning in, for subscribing. The support over the last year means a lot to us. And I know the schedule has been a little erratic here towards the end of the year, but I am making efforts to correct that in the new year. So again, thanks for sticking with us. So the way I'm going to lead into this movie review is by going down the list of films that I've watched over the past year, 2023, all the theatrical releases that I got a chance to check out, along with grades for these films. So my film review grading system goes as follows. So an A is a film that has become one of my favorites. So if I give something an A, it goes into my kind of short list of favorite movies. A B is liked, but was not enamored. So really enjoyed, but just didn't go up to that higher echelon. A C is an okay. A D is meh with an exclamation point. And an F is who put a gun to my head to get me to watch such bullshit. And I'll go down this list briskly since I've talked about these films on the podcast as they were released. So start at the top here, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I gave a C. Marvel's kind of been up and down with their releases. So that one got a C. John Wick 4, I gave an A-. Really enjoyed that. That was quite the experience in the movie theater. Let's see here. You know, and I wonder how these grades would change if I would have watched them at home rather than the movie theater. But let's see. So John Wick 4 is followed by the Super Mario Brothers movie, which I really enjoyed. Gave that a B+. Let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I gave a B-. Really enjoyed that one. It's one of the better MCU offerings since Endgame. Another really great Marvel movie, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I gave that an A. And this list is typical of ones that I've done over the years on the podcast. I only ever hand out maybe three or four A's throughout the year, but just got to keep it real. Got to have some standards. So, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was pretty amazing. So, let's see. That was followed by Transformers Rise of the Beast. I gave a C+, and I still enjoyed the shit out of that movie. It was one of the better Transformers movies, and I think a C+ for a Transformers movie is pretty good. So I followed that with Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Gave that a B. This was one of the ones when I skimmed over this list before I hit record for this podcast, for this specific episode, where I was like, boy, a B. That wasn't necessarily the best Mission Impossible movie, but it did have me at the edge of my seat during the viewing. But I'm wondering if I gave it such a high grade because of recency bias, or if I was just comparing it to the other Mission Impossible movies, which I shouldn't do. I try to grade the films on their own merits rather than comparing them to other films in a series or other films in general. But I think I'm going to stick with that, with a B for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. I would recommend that for anyone who's into action movies or just the Mission Impossible movies in general. So that was followed by Oppenheimer, which took the summer by storm, that and Barbie. Did not watch Barbie, but I did watch Oppenheimer, and I gave Oppenheimer an A. Really well done. Really thought-provoking. The runtime was lengthy, but it didn't feel it at all. I want to say it was close to a three-hour movie, but I didn't feel it one second. Like, when I've watched longer movies of lesser quality, I'll start shifting in my seat towards that second, third hour. But did not feel any of that with Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan knows how to make a movie And I'm always there for any of his films. So that one was followed by Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. Gave that a B. Really enjoyed a unique take, a different take on the Turtles. Lifelong fan. So was pleasantly surprised and welcomed the efforts from the entire team on that. So that one was followed by The Creator, Gareth Edwards' film that I had high hopes for, but kind of left me a little bit wanting for more. Gave that one a C+, and it looks like I'm approaching the end of my list here. So this film's a little different than the rest of the films on this list because it wasn't a theatrical release. This was a Netflix exclusive. It's David Fincher and Michael Fassbender's The Killer. Gave this one a B+. This is one of my most anticipated films that I've most anticipated this year. Really enjoyed it. It was one of those films like the film I'll be reviewing for this episode. Looks like one of those films that was just made for me in particular. I'm like, oh, thank you. It's David Fincher, such a huge fan. Me and Jason recently talked about this film on the podcast. The director of Fight Club and Zodiac and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Done a lot of cool movies. One of my favorite directors. And I gave The Killer a B+. Recommend it highly to anyone listening. But you have to kind of go in with no expectations. Just go into it without any kind of like expectations of it being some giant action flick or anything like that. It's not that. It's more of a quiet character study. There's a big action sequence in the middle of it, but really the movie is more of a contemplative character study. And Michael Fassbender is always interesting to watch as an actor. David Fincher is a superb director. So that is The Killer, and it gets a B+ from this reviewer. So that brings us to the movie review. So this is my film review of Godzilla Minus One, 2023 release. Still in theaters. Wasn't going to be the case. It was probably going to be one of those foreign films that showed up for a weekend here in the United States and then just kind of gets shuffled off. But this one's been getting a lot of hype online. Spectacular reviews. The Rotten Tomatoes, both audience and critics, are in the 90s. I do recall when I first saw a trailer for this film that I just seemed too good to be true. This looked like the Godzilla film that Godzilla fans have been waiting for forever, but for whatever reason, never got up until now. I am a fan of the legendary MonsterVerse movies, the Godzilla vs. Kong stuff, Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters. That stuff I am a fan of. But boy, the Japanese know how to... if they know one thing, it's making Godzilla movies. And if they know two things, it's making Godzilla movies and sushi. And if they know three things, it's making Godzilla movies, sushi, and making cars. And if I can just keep going. I love the Japanese people. I love their culture. And I love them for this film. This film was fantastic. Before I go further, let me do... I'm going to... There'll be like slight spoilers on this. I don't think you can ruin this film by spoiling it too much, but just want to give fair warning if anyone's interested in watching this film and doesn't want it spoiled. I'll have mild spoilers in this review. So the film takes place in World War II Japan, very soon after, like it's like 1945 or 46, 47, that area there. So they're just trying to get their bearings after the war. And the production on this, wow. I mean, they make it look like, you know, like Japan after, with rubble and just disarray and everything. And Yeah, it looks like a period piece. Legitimately. So that was very interesting, and I know the origins of the character with the 1954 original film had a lot to do with the effects of World War II. It was interesting that they took it back to that era for this film, and it centers around a kamikaze pilot who is dealing with survivor's guilt, with some shame. Like I said, he was a kamikaze pilot, and that he's still alive after being assigned with being a kamikaze pilot kind of gives you an idea of where this person's coming from, where their headspace is at. He's also dealing with some PTSD, but then with the nature of this film, that PTSD that his main character is carrying with him gets like compounded, and you really feel for the guy. That's one of the things special about this particular Godzilla film is that the human element is elevated compared to other kaiju films, Godzilla films in particular. The supporting cast, for example, just adds more depth to the story. They're well thought out. They add to the entire experience. You worry about them. In other kaiju movies, you're like, oh, I just want to see destruction and the monsters fight. This is not that. This is a genuine World War II drama that happens to have Godzilla in it. And I'll get into the Godzilla of it all. He's fucking terrifying in this film. Like, legitimately terrifying. And they don't try to make him into an anti-hero like the legendary MonsterVerse movies. Again, I'm a fan of those American Godzilla films, but this movie, Godzilla Minus One, took me back to when I was however old, 7 or 8, watching Godzilla films with my dad. And when you're a kid, your imagination kind of goes wild and start imagining something like that actually happening in your neighborhood. It's the same kind of fear kids from the 80s had about, like a nuclear holocaust, just mass destruction, and just that, is a real possibility in this, in the modern age with, countries with nuclear weapons. Like, just replace the nuclear weapons with giant kaiju, and your imagination can really get away from you. And that's kind of my experience with Godzilla growing up. And it was a shock to my system to experience a film that really tapped into that visceral fear and just the confidence that the filmmakers had and knowing which buttons to press. This was fantastic. It's definitely a horror movie. It's PG-13, but it has all the earmarks of a horror movie. Like even till the very end there, they did at a high level. Like I said, it's a genuine World War II drama. The Godzilla stuff is terrifying, and here's the other impressive thing that this film did. It delivered a high quality product that can compete with other giant blockbusters from Disney and Warner Brothers and all the other Hollywood studios. It did what it did on $50 million, which is, by comparison, the Disney films are like $200 million budgets, and Disney's had a rough go the last couple years where they're making $200 million. The Marvels, for example, or their animated films, they've been bombing and they've been losing millions of dollars. This film on $50 million, like, just completely just showed Hollywood what can be done if you've got your priorities in the right place. And just tons of respect to Toho Studios in Japan for this. This was amazing. This was kind of came out of left field for me. I was kind of already riding high on the Monsterverse stuff. And you know, what's crazy too is that Monarch Legacy of Monsters on Apple TV Plus, that's good too. But this on its own, Godzilla Minus One, just brought it. Just like, I mean, super impressed with the storytelling, the visual effects, with the de-aging of Japan. That's not really quite but just like transporting you back to that era is very, very impressive. But the visual effects and the kaiju, mostly and overwhelmingly breathtaking. There are a couple shots, and this is nitpicking, there's a couple shots that are a little bit wonky, but for the most part, you forgive that stuff because the story's so good and the action's very bombastic. But I was talking to my brother and I was trying to explain this movie to him. So if you're looking at Godzilla, the typical Godzilla movie, and if you're like comparing the human element with the kaiju action and stuff, typical Godzilla movie, on a scale of 1 to 10, the Godzilla stuff's usually like an 8 or a 9. And then the human story, the human stuff's usually like a 3, right? I mean, that seems fair. But this film, Godzilla Minus One, the human stuff's probably like an 8. The human story is very compelling, and you really care for the characters. The Godzilla stuff in this film is like a fucking 12. Like, it is so anxiety-inducing. and I knew what was going into it, and I like horror movies, and I like action movies, and most John Wick movies, for example, don't have enough violence for me. But this film, yeah, it had me worried for people's safety, even though I knew it was just a fantasy film. Ultimately, really, really, really grateful for this movie. And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm going to give this movie an A. It is one of my favorite films of the year. It's one of my favorite films, I suspect, overall. Definitely safe to say my favorite Godzilla film. I can't think. I know I really liked the legendary ones, but none of them get an A, really. I really, really like Godzilla, King of the Monsters, but I think I give that like a C or a C+. There was a Toho-produced Godzilla film called Shin Godzilla in 2016. That one probably gets a B from me. That one's really thoughtful and thought-provoking. And the horror is very interesting. But that one didn't stick with me the way this one does. Definitely going to go try to check this one out again in the theater. It's they keep extending the theatrical run on this one in the United States, which is just telling me that it's doing really well. It's making some money. It's already made more than what it cost to make the film. So super happy for Toho and for all us Godzilla fans out there. I never thought I'd see a Godzilla film where I could confidently recommend it to anyone. There's my review of Godzilla Minus One. So, wow, it's been a minute since I've done one of these episodes by myself. And I try to do these solo episodes so that when Jason and Ian can't be on, I can just jump on the mic and put an episode out, just to have some consistency in the scheduling. Jason and Ian are very invested in the podcast, but we're 3 grown men with 3 busy schedules, so it makes it difficult. So I try to, you know, put an episode out with the 3 of us, and the following week, one by myself. A lot of things have been happening behind the scenes lately, so it's been more difficult for me to jump on by myself, but I do notice that I need to stay on it so that I can get better at it. And so looking forward in our scheduling, Jason and Ian will be back on before too long. We're going to be doing kind of our wrap-up of 2023, our favorite things of 2023, and probably doing a little bit of looking ahead as well to 2024. So looking forward to having the guys back on and getting into all kinds of silliness. So we do appreciate your patience and your support and can't wait to share more in the new year. All right, so we'll call that an episode. So for all things Mind Grenade, like a feed of the podcast, my art gallery can all be found at mindgrenadestudios.com. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.